that we're inferior people to them. That's where it comes from. So all of you out there listening, if you're wondering where racism comes from, maybe you can think like Sahil said. And yes, they're not born that way, they're made. They're influenced. They have their own influencers. I want to be an influencer on healing, on motivation, and inspiring people to heal, to get stronger. That's what I want to influence. So you just go to the opposite side and you think of people influencing other people that there's something wrong with those people. They don't care about their children. You know, they're lazy. They're stupid. They're crazy, you know. So if children are hearing this and they look at us and they say, oh, gee, it's one of those stupid Indians or crazy Indians. Any child, all children absorb what they hear like a sponge. That's what my granny told me. Have to be careful when you talk to the children because they absorb, they just take it in. So I imagined a Canadian child sitting around the table and a father or mother saying negative comments about Indigenous people. That's how that child learns, listening. But racism has inflicted heavy damage on our way of life. You know, and it's sanctioned beliefs to justify occupying our land and our water. But enough of that now. I think you get it. You understand where Sahil's it's coming from. That's where racism come from. It just didn't come out of anywhere. It was planted by a few people. People in love with power, totally. They want all the trees. They want all the salmon, the gold. And they don't want to share it. You know, as a child, I seen rage, seemed like rage against me. In the eyes, you know how when you look at somebody's eyes, you can see anger. As a child, I felt that. When I was struck for making a mistake across my ears and my face, it traumatized me. So I became afraid of white people. Just like they were afraid of us, but mine was because of violence and aggression. From them, because aggression means you want to create fear and harm in another person when you're aggressive. For them, they were afraid of us at the beginning, that we're devil worshippers, that we're heathens, pagan savages. So that fear was created for them. And my fear was different. My fear was that they're going to humiliate me, they're going to shame me. They're going to hit me in front of everybody and tell me I'm stupid. So that had the impact on me. It took many years for me to heal from that. When I was told I was a stupid Indian. As a child. I tell people today, you know, I wanted to be a history teacher. I just loved reading, and I still love reading. I was reading about Alexander the Great, about Genghis Khan, Cleopatra, and Julius Caesar. All of those things, I was reading it. And I loved history. And I wanted to be a history teacher. But in 1968, I walked out of Kamloops Indian Residential School. And I said, I'm not going to school anymore. My dad said, oh, gee, son, I'm glad you graduate. Now you can go to college. I said, Dad, I don't want to go there anymore. And I had a wonderful dad. And he says, okay, go to work then. You go get a job. You're not staying here, you know, which was a good thing. And I went logging in Alaska, of all places. And I was a logger. 18 years old, I'm out logging on the West Coast. He told me, and I was walking out the door, he says, when you go to work, when those white guys are walking on the job, you run. Because if you want to hold your job, you have to work harder than them. See, he understood racism. So I said, okay, Dad. And my uncles were saying, yeah. Because they were working during the dirty 30s, they called it the Great Depression. They said it was hard for us to get a job because we're Indians. And they wouldn't hire us. And they would look for an excuse to fire us. So they had that fear in them, and they put it in me, and they said, you work, you go work hard. Go early, leave late. Show them that you deserve that job. You can work. So I done that. But I encountered racism there too. So now I'm going to talk about, you know, that I said this recently, that Canada is not racist. Canada is a country that has racists living in it. The police are not racist. They have racist policemen and women working for them. So we don't think like a teenager and generalize that everybody's racist. That's not true. Anyway, so I was in Alaska. Only indigenous, I was just a skinny 18-year-old kid, you know. Not a kid, really, a young man. And I'm logging, and this great big 6'8" man comes to work. And he says, I'm a Vietnam vet. I just got back from Vietnam, he says. And I was looking at him, oh. First time I stood beside somebody that's 6'8", and I'm literally looking up at him. So he's talking to us out in the logging, out in the bush. And he is saying that about how crazy that war is in Vietnam, fighting those gooks. And I was, I don't know, 10 feet away from him. I said, you're a racist. No, I'm not. He says, yes, you're a racist because you're calling them gooks or Vietnamese. And I don't even know where this come from as an 18-year-old. And all of a sudden, he's chasing me around. And he's so big and clumsy, he couldn't keep up to me. I was just running because all the trees were laying around because we're loggers. And he couldn't catch me. He fell down, and he's a big man. And he stood up, and he looked at me, and he says, Jerry, he says, you're right. He says, I'll never use that word again. And he became my friend, an ally. An ally means somebody that ties himself to you. And he proved it, because there were men in the logging camp. They would swear, use bad language, and they see me. Oh, there's that effing blanket ass. There's that stupid Indian. And there was, I know there was about 8 of them that were like a gang of men. And I became frightened. Every time I see them, I'd walk the other way. And we're in a small logging camp. And one day I said, oh, I'm going to quit. I can't take this anymore. That night, that day, I said, I'm quitting. I'm going to go. I'm going to leave. And I went to the shower, and I showered up before I go eat. And I was going in, after I went to my room and I changed, and I was going into the dining hall. And one of my other friends says, hey, did you hear what Tiny done? We called the 6'8" man Tiny, you know, because he's so big. I said, no, what did Tiny do? And they said, you know that Jim? He's the ringleader for the racists. He said he followed Jim into the bathroom and he picked him up with one hand by the lapel of his shirt and lifted him up and banged his head against the ceiling. And he says, I don't want to hear anything negative about Jerry again. And he dropped him on the floor. All of a sudden, the racists were quiet in the camp. They had this great big man, 6'8", defending Jerry. That's an ally. Tiny and I became the best of friends. Where he goes, I go. Where I go, he goes. It's surprising for me that in 1969, I actually was around racism. Then I left there, and I didn't see it anymore, in the sense it's always there. But then, years later, now I started working anti-racism. Literally trying to heal the racist from being racist towards indigenous people. That's what I do today. It's part of my job. And I do believe racists can heal. Racists can heal. They can change. And that's what I wanted to impress upon you today, to help you understand that they're human beings too. That's why this podcast is called We Are All One. We're all one. We're human beings. We all got the same blood, everything. The color of our skin is different. Our eyes is different. But we're all one. So I wanted to talk to you about that so we can teach our children not to let their lives be ruined by racists. To accept that there's racism in this country, but it's not our problem. It's their problem. They're the ones that are negative. They're the ones that are lost, not us. I want to impress that upon the indigenous people, that racism is not really our problem. It's their problem. It's our problem when they hurt us and they discriminate and say, you're not getting any medicine. You're not coming here. That's discrimination. Or stereotyping us, saying you're all drunks. You're all lazy. That's not true. So I wanted to create a message around this topic of racism. You know, not to let it rule our life. Because every time we react with anger, it feeds them, the racist. They enjoy seeing us angry or afraid or depressed. So let's not feed them anymore. I learned how to look a racist in the eye and stand up for myself. It took me a long time to do that, so I'm not expecting you to do that. The best thing to do is walk away from them. My friends and I would say about racists sometimes. Racists would be calling us down, and one of them would say, somebody call an ambulance. Either him and I or I are going to the hospital. We're going to fight. You know? That's not the answer. It's not the answer. I asked Sikh taxi driver in Vancouver. Got into the taxi, there he is, believes in his culture, he's got a beard and a turban on. He asked me, oh, where are you going, sir? I said, I'm going down to Anya, urban youth, it's a youth place on Hastings Street. Oh, I know where it is, sir. I said, it's across the Friendship Center. Yeah, I know. He says, what are you doing there? I said, oh, I'm going to talk to youth. Inspire them about education and about finding their gift. He says, oh, that's good, he says. He said, tell them to get a quality education. So I said to him, I know you're a Sikh. Yes, I am, he says. I said, you have children, sir? And he says, yes, I do. I said, how do you talk to your children about racism? Oh, he says, yes, I talk to them about it. He says, I tell them when you see a racist, someone that's being mean to you or being ugly, you walk away from them or you walk around them because they're dirty inside. And I thought, what a message. Because I was wondering, how do I talk to my children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren about racism? So I started to ask others how to do this. But I am constantly telling our youth that we come from a beautiful people. That we're a beautiful people. That's where we come from. And I keep hearing my grandmother, ask what she ha-achut. Don't think you're better than others. And some of them would even say, ask what she shamachut. Don't be like those white people, think you're better than others. And so that medicine for racism is to get them to understand that we're good people, that we're beautiful people. And not for us to become like the racist, become angry, become stressed out when we see them, become afraid. But know who we are. We're beautiful people. I brag about our people when I talk now to Canadians. Land acknowledgements, they ask me to do it. Yes, I'll do it. I say, I'm thanking all the original people. Ul means original in my language. And Miuch is referring to the earth. All the original people from Mother Earth. Uchul Miucha were beautiful people. They kept the land pristine when they were here by themselves. There was no extinction going on in Canada when it's just indigenous people here. So we must acknowledge them and thank them for that. And I tell that to our youth. You come from beautiful people. Generous, respectful, helpful, good sense of humor. That's where we come from. When you go, you help people. Even if it's just stacking chairs or peeling potatoes, whatever it is, you help them. That's our way. That's being indigenous. We're one. We're all one. And we're indigenous people. We're all one. We started to learn to be individuals, but we're going to go back to being one again. That's my dream. And also, the Canadians. We must all work together to fight climate change and global warming. All of us. No room for racism. That time's over. The only time racism stays alive is when we fight each other. There's too many of them. So we need to change them, but most importantly, change ourselves. I was told by an elder, Jerry, you can't change society by yourself. Because I get depressed, I get angry, all the regular human emotions. And he says, I want you to know, guaranteed, you can change yourself. So you work on yourself. So I took that on, and I did. Where I want to be positive. I want to be a part of the solution. I want to help. So that's thanksgiving to my teachers that were dignified human beings, noble, clear eyes, look at people. you know, and without trying to fool anybody, being sincere. Those were my teachers. All my teachers are elders. I never hear them swear at anybody or swear about anybody. You know, beautiful people. That's who I emulate. That's who I want to be like. I have one more story. I'm about to wind up here. Yeah, I have one more story about facing racism. I went into a bank in Brandon, Manitoba. You can see I have braids. I grow my hair. And people say, how come you got long hair? Because I'm growing my hair so my relatives will have a long life. One of them passes away, I'll cut off all my hair. You'll know Jerry's grieving if that happens. My mother passed away, I cut off all my hair. I was just about bald. And I start growing it again for other relatives. Anyway, I walked into the bank. And there's this white man in front of me. So we're standing in line. This is before COVID. Turns around, looks at me. Nice braids, he says. Too bad you're not a girl. And I looked at him because before that he was cussing at the tillers, and the tillers were Muslims in that bank. And he was really being mean to them. He said, I don't want any BS either, he's telling them. And I said, holy. And he turns around, that's when he's seen me. He was on a roll being angry. I said to him, sir, you know why I grow my hair? No, I don't. I said, I'm growing it for a long life for my relatives. This is one of them passed, I cut it off. He says, oh, my wife just died last year, and his eyes changed. He's not angry anymore. He's hurting. I said, oh, I'm sorry, sir. He says, yeah, she left. He says, shaking his head. And I said, sir, you got grandchildren? He says, yes, three beautiful grandchildren. I said, that's your reason for living, sir. Those grandchildren need you. They were having a little talk and it changed. And I think it's because I look them in the eye without anger in my eyes. And my voice wasn't angry. And it diffused his anger. That might not work with everybody, I get it. But it's worth a try. So I want to encourage you. Always walk with your head up. And you think there's racists around. Don't go like this. Don't put your head down. Because that's when they got you. Teach our children. Stay away from them. Teach our children that we're beautiful people. Don't stoop so low as to be angry all the time at another group of people. Be helpful. Be uchel miuch. Be real. So that's my message around racism. That we can beat it. And that starts from inside of us. And I think the country's changing myself. You know, the world. There's more and more talk now. We now have gender ways of identifying he, her, they, she, you know. Because there's people that are different. And we must accept them as being different and treat them with respect. Because we're all one. Remember, this podcast is called We're All One. We are all one. We all breathe oxygen that comes from the earth. Drink water that comes out of the earth. Wear the clothing that comes from the earth. We're all one. So I just like to encourage you to work on yourself and know there's nothing wrong with you. Well, of course, we make mistakes, but being indigenous is beautiful. Being indigenous is being resourceful, being resilient. Resilient means we can recover when we get traumatized quickly. That's what resilient means. And we are come from resilient people. I just think of my my grandmother, my late grandmother, her husband went to jail for 6 months for saying, no, you're not taking my daughter to residential school. So they put him in jail. My granny recovered from that. I never see her say one bad word about the Shamas. That's a white people. Ever in her whole life. Even though that happened to her. That's a real sign of resilience. So I'd just like to thank you all for listening to this. I know it's a bit heavy one, but I think it's one that we all need to think about because it's real. I myself, every room I go to, I scan it. I look around, is it safe for Sahil sit here? You know, shows you how real racism is. It's not what it used to be. They're not going to put me in jail for speaking my language or having a potlatch or a ceremony today. But there's still people out there that are mean to us. So I'd just like to thank you and, you know, take care. COVID's still here. You know, I'm so grateful many have been vaccinated. And first year of COVID, one of the aunties said to us on a Zoom meeting, this too shall pass. So I believe COVID will pass, but we need to work at it. So thank you for coming to Teachings in the Air, and I look forward to speaking to you again. So I'll sign off now. Thank you.
I'm feeling Miss Nat God, the sweet on my back, the earth and the sea that I carry with me. I'm feeling it deep, right down to the core. My roots digging in and my waves on the shore. I am everything and nothing. Everything and nothing. I feel like a mountain, got my head up high. With you on my shoulders, the light in the eyes. My shell opens up and I'm left there exposed. My driftwood bones, they will keep me afloat. I am everything. Back through times, we're calling the elders who carried us all. Like me with you now, my snack on my back, I carry you now. I am everything and nothing, everything and nothing. I am everything and nothing, everything and nothing. My take back through time. We're calling the elders who carried us all. Like me with you now, my snack on my back, I carry you now.